Okay, great. Well, we're going to get started, and I'll kind of give you an idea of what we would like to do, we were thinking and talking about. Of course, the elephant in the room is only days away, so we thought it would be appropriate. We won't have another PLC before the grants are due, so we're going to talk a little bit about tune-ups and some things you might do at this late date to just put some words in your proposal that may give you some plus points, might help you out. They wouldn't necessarily be difficult to insert, but just something to consider. Then we're going to talk about moving forward a little bit, what happens after the grant is submitted, and things you should do in that case. So we'll talk a little bit about some landmines that deduct points. And we did send out last week Connect issue, our newsletter that had a number, went into this in detail, things that deduct points. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And if we have some time, we'll talk about where we're at in terms of training at this point. Starting on the 30th, which is the next PLC, we're going to start getting into some concepts, some things we missed at the all-grantee meeting for current grantees and new grantees. We'll be talking about those sessions. We're going to be having some of the grantees highlight their programs and talk and share about their program with others that are on the call. So we'll be doing that following this PLC, but same place, same time, every other Wednesday. So as usual, we start out with news from Washington. And Heather, have you heard anything from EPA that we need to know?
So I just wanted to kind of reiterate, I thought there were some really good summaries that were shared with us for the last PLC call that I thought were still, really important and just worth mentioning again as we are kind of approaching the tail end of that due date coming up for the RFA. So a couple of those key points. That we just want to reiterate to everybody. For the threshold criteria, it is important that applicants address all threshold criteria to ensure passing and have their application move to the evaluation stage. So even if that threshold requirement does not apply to the applicant must still include in the statement to this effect and does not just leave it blank. So just, make sure that you guys address each and every component of it. Again, even if it doesn't apply to you, you must still address that it doesn't apply to you. Don't just leave things blank. That's a really, really important step, especially for those threshold criteria. The second thing that that HQ wanted to make sure that they reminded you guys is that there is a scheduled blackout period for scheduled maintenance for grants.gov that will occur September 19th through the 21st. From 12 a.m. Eastern to 6 a.m. Eastern. So this will be over the weekend. So over the weekend, there will be scheduled maintenance of grants.gov. It will be a blackout period from 12 a.m. Eastern time Saturday to 6 a.m. Eastern time Monday morning. And grants.gov will not be accessible during that time. So please plan accordingly that you won't be able to access grants.gov this weekend. That's really kind of a crucial thing, and we just want to make sure that you guys keep that at the forefront of your mind. This maintenance shouldn't really affect applicants because it's occurring over the weekend, but you just wanted to remind you all that that will be occurring. So keep that in the back of your mind. And just remember, we are down to the nitty gritty. So just keep working and submitting applications as early as possible because we are getting down to the wire in terms of length of time. So just make sure that you guys keep that in mind. And another thing that we always try to remind you guys, and this kind of comes from HQ, but this also comes from us at HMTRI, is just, don't forget to keep in mind that Brownfields 2021 is still scheduled for April 27th through the 30th. Right now it is slated to be occurring in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And you can go to brownfields2021.org for more information on that. And so just keep that in the back of your mind as well as you are looking forward and planning into your next year and your next calendar. So go ahead and reserve those dates. Keep them in the back of your brain. And just visit brownfields2021 for more information to keep you in the loop for that as well. All right, and I think at this time I'm actually going to turn it over to Steve. And Steve is going to tell you guys a little bit more about HMTRI information.
Sure, thanks. As Mike alluded to on the next PLC call on June 30th, we're going to provide you with more information about the all grantee meeting that just that we just had in August, we've put together a list of kind of like best practices, things we learned, lessons learned, suggestions, recommendations, pitfalls of holding a meeting. And that was actually inspired by Pam, who's on the call, wrote to Heather and said they were going to have a Zoom meeting, and could we share any tips or ideas? And so the three of us kind of got together and made a list of all the things that we experienced. It was actually very good timing because it was all still fresh in our minds. So we have all that information that we'll share with you on the 30th. Plus, I just got the raw data of 42 evaluations that our participants from the conference filled out. And so I'll just be reporting on that and give you an update on how, you know, the perceptions of those of you who attended and all of the comments, suggestions, and so forth. So it'll be kind of a recap of that meeting, but hopefully also to provide you with some additional information that might be helpful for you in going forward. So that's coming up in 2 weeks.
Great.
This is Pam from UCA.
Yeah.
That was really helpful. It was really helpful to our team in making decisions about the format to use, how to moderate the breakouts. Really practical, good information. So thank you. Thank you again for that.
Thank you. It was great, and it was perfect timing because the three of us kind of, you know, when you called and asked about maybe having a meeting, it was like, this actually is a really good idea for us because while it's all fresh, we can make this list, all three of us, and then compare it and come up with like a master list of lessons learned. So it was really helpful, and we were thinking it would be a good idea to share it with everybody in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Well, we had our knocks. It wasn't slam dunk. We had a lot of agony going into that meeting, so we were kind of learning on the fly. So we thought we might share some of those ideas with you to avoid those landmines.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there may be some other approaches I think that people have used that are really effective that I think would be great to talk about. While we're talking about things that are happening in Washington, there are, and I put them in the notes, there are these MAC grants. They're multi-faceted grants, but primarily assessment and cleanup grants. And they're going to go out for their RFP, which will be due on October 28th. These are assessment and cleanup grants. And the reason I mention it, they're not job training grants, but in their RFA, when they respond to it, they need to have public hearings, and we'll be talking about that in a second, public hearings. And in addition to that, they're going to be having coordination questions. Are they coordinating with people like us? And the reason I throw this out is if you have an opportunity, you could find out who in your community may be applying for one of these MAC grants, you might touch base with them. And in fact, if you can do it before you submit your grant, you might even include their names and what coordination you're doing, because it's a plus-plus in terms of our grants that we're coordinating with the assessment and the cleanup people. So they have actually a little more pressure to work with the community, well, as much as we do in terms of working with the jobs and providing jobs to the community. So just keep that in mind, and we'll put them in the notes. There's also a proposal that's due on the 21st. There's gone to an EJ-type proposal. And again, when we find out more about that and who might be getting that or applying for that, we could share that with everyone. Again, these are grants that, while they're not directly environmental workforce grants, they do influence us, and it's good to coordinate with those people. We had a couple of questions in the last week or so that I thought I would touch base before we go much further. One was on the A and B, the curriculum issue. They're asking us to do an A plan and a B plan. And of course, while the question was directed at how do we fit that all into that 15-page narrative, what does that do in terms of your timeline, that may not be as much a problem as why you decided to do A and B. And if they're much different, What is the difference between A and B? And you just to keep in mind that your curriculum is dependent on your labor market assessment. It's really dependent on what your employers have asked you to teach or how you should teach it. And so the difference between A and B may be more an issue of delivery rather than curriculum. Now, it may be the question of how much curriculum can you deliver, how you will deliver it. But if you have a dramatically different curriculum in A than B, you may need to explain why is it different in A and B when your employers are asking you for a particular curriculum to fill the need. So this is something to consider when you're talking about that A and B plan. The training shouldn't be substantially different, but again, delivery will may be different, class sizes, the configuration, the way you deliver it may be. The other thing that's going to segue into some last-minute tune-ups is what about all the other things? For example, what about recruitment? What about replacement, placement? What about retention? They didn't talk about it so much in how you're going to address those, but you need to look at that. Is your screening and your recruitment of students going to be considerably different between Plan A and Plan B? And you may want to make a note of that in those parts of the proposals that you will be different, because people who aren't listening to this call may not even consider that. And it may be something that you may want to put in there that will give you some plus points that might put you ahead of someone else and get you into that top 15 recommended for funding. Will your recruitment change? Are you going to have to screen differently? Are you going to have to require people with computer skills? How are you going to be placing? It's face-to-face interviews. Are they not going to be possible? How are you going to work with your employers? And so in addition to training, that's just something I want to throw out as a consideration. Let's look at some of these. I first wanted to talk about the general things that can help you in terms of this, and we've already talked about curriculum, the things you may want to think about as you do your final review of the proposal. You're maybe penciling it up, changing some things, and I wanted to just throw some things out that you may want to consider. Remember, keep in mind, and it's easy to lose track of this, this program is an EJ, it's a jobs, and it's a brownfields solid waste hazardous materials program. You've got to keep that in mind. It's not, you don't want to focus on a Department of Labor program. You don't want to focus on environmental careers per se. Remember, when you look at the amount of funding, you've got hazardous materials, brownfields cleanup, $2.88 million. They're contributing solid waste, another $15,000. And from there, it drops off dramatically. So you want to remember where your money's coming from. And, of course, these are general categories, and you can make many, many programs. The curriculum will fit into those between solid waste and hazardous materials and cleanup. Many programs will fit into those categories, but you've got to be careful. If you're, for example, if you want to really do an air program, maybe you need to think about finding leverage funding for that, because there's no money in this grant for doing air unless you tie it into a hazardous materials type program. So keep in mind, keep your eyes on the objective, which is environmental justice. And woe unto you if you don't mention environmental justice in your grant. You're not on the right track. Again, it's about jobs, and the goal is placement. And certainly, as we mentioned in our Connect issue, which I'll talk about later, you got to have 70%. But don't just say 70%, because that's what you need. You want to do better than everyone else. You have to deliver what you can be able to do. But if you can get up to 80, 90%, 100%, we have grantees who deliver 100%. So something to consider. You have to remember also, besides mentoring EJ, jobs, brownfields, solid waste, emergency response, I want to suggest as a general suggestion that everyone on this call, and even those that aren't sure if they want to submit, should submit. Submit a proposal no matter what. And we've had some questions. We don't think we're ready yet. We may wait till next year. And my response is, no, get a proposal in now for a whole lot of reasons. First, of course, there's going to be 15 proposals awarded, $200,000 each. The competition, we don't know what the competition will be, but we have to keep in mind those who were funded in FY20, which was just a few months ago, are ineligible to apply this. So just in general, the thinking is there may be less competition on this go-around. That doesn't give you a pass, but it certainly, it's not a situation where we haven't had a RFA for 3 or 4 years and we're going to have hundreds of people. So the idea of you write a fundable and a good grant, that is a positive plus. The other thing is in response to the question of should you submit one because you don't feel you're ready. No, definitely you want to submit a grant. And one, we want to get you on the track. We used to say in the old days, many grants aren't funded that first year. That has changed. Some grants are funded that first year. But often they would have to go through one cycle, spend some time with their regional coordinator, find out where their weak spots were, whether they didn't have enough partnering going on, whether they didn't do enough leveraging, whether they didn't spend enough time writing that grant. They needed that extra year to fine-tune, and often they would get it the second year. So if you don't submit, then next year you could be starting from ground zero. But why don't you start with ground one, submit a grant, no matter what the situation is, do the best you can, and then make sure, and we'll talk about this in future time, sit down with your regional coordinator and get the reader notes and find out where, because you submit not a perfect grant this year, doesn't mean it's not going to work against you. Next year, you will dramatically improve that grant. So get on the track. You'll also be put on the regional coordinator list of people who are interested in continuing this. There are some other advantages that we've talked about in some of the PLCs. If you go into this and with a very positive attitude, you may find other money that pops up. Not EPA money. It may be Department of Labor money. It may be Department of Energy money. It may be money out of the mayor's office. They may decide, and you get the word out that you're intending on funding this. And even if you don't get it, they say, well, we'd like this enough that we'd like to get started. We'll provide you some money for a planning grant, and perhaps you could start bringing on some vendors, and you could start your planning and what your program might look like. You might even want them, they might want you to expand it into some other area that may not necessarily be consistent with the EPA program, but will bring you into a planning stage, which you could use next year as a leveraging. So again, if for whatever reason, if you didn't get the grant this year, you could get some startup or planning money from someone. So next year, starting with leverage funding, starting with your advisory committee set up, some of your vendors set up, it will put you in a much, much stronger position. So it's just something to consider. I've mentioned in the last PLC, I would hate to see any of the grantees not address other factors. Other factors is a tiebreaker. Other factors in this competition can mean the difference of you jumping ahead of other people, whether it's veterans, ex-offenders, whether it's rural, whether you're a target community or Native American. You definitely want to make sure that if you have not included other factors, get them in the next couple of days. Another thing that I think it's important, if you can do this the next week, get on the record of some sort of public meeting, whether it's an announcement, any kind of public meeting. If you could go to your city representative and indicate to him your intent to submit this grant and document it. If you're fortunate enough to get into a city council meeting, and have representative announce that or ask them to do it. If you could get into a church meeting or a community meeting of any sort between now and submission date, get in there and announce your intentions of submitting this grant. You're not sure that you're going to get it. It won't be implemented until next year, but you've got to start somewhere and you'd like to bring this to the community. That may tie into what I just talked about of getting supplemental funds from someone else, but it will get you, again, a plus-plus on the ranking criteria when you could put down that you did participate in a public meeting, you scheduled a public meeting, you talked to your state representative about it, and that's something you can do between now and the 21st, and you could include it in your proposal. You definitely...
Mike, I
yes.
have a question. I'm doing an interview this afternoon with Los Alamos for their national podcast. Would that count?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say poo on you if you don't include that in your proposal. You definitely, this is exactly what we're talking about, okay?
Okay.
This is the time to crow. This is definitely the time to crow. Because if it's a matter of 4 points or 3 points, you definitely want to be there and be
and
involved in that.
The other question I have is, you know, on my radio show, I announced that we're applying and for people to, you know, get in contact with us about, you know, where we're at in this grant process. Does that count too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, that should also be addressed in your community relationships. You're developing
okay.
your community relationships. You need to. Those are excellent points. Working with the community, that's when you're doing something like you're doing there. It's good as speaking at a church meeting, perhaps better because you're reaching
well,
a local audience.
We're not allowed to have public meetings right now in person or. You know, our governor's real stringent right now about public meetings, so that's why I was just going to ask.
Yeah, what you can do, though, is you could make announcements or indicate to your city council member that you're applying for this grant, and those are better than not saying anything. What we want to do is, in this era of COVID, you're exactly right, but we can say in our grant that we informed and we are in communications with our city council member. That's just a phone call away. That we're trying to ask them to put announcements. So even in terms of religious organizations, a phone call, an email, and to the pastor that ask him to announce that you're planning on developing a job training program again. You would be in your proposal, you would indicate that you've talked to several community organizations, like religious organizations, and particularly in the target group, and they're planning on announcing in their congregations what you're going to be doing and when you're going to be doing it. So those are, again, all those things that fill that area of public relations, public announcements, working with the community. And everything I'm mentioning here, if you do it and the other guy doesn't, it's going to put you ahead a notch. Again, we want to get into the top 15 proposals. And whatever we need to do to get there, we take advantage of it. If it's not in the proposal, and we've mentioned this several times, it doesn't exist. And that kind of links into what I just say. It's time to grow. Time to talk about this. Whoever you dig up, that people you've talked to about this and how you